Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. St. Paul tells us today, I do not understand my actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Ever feel that way? Ever feel that tension? You have good intentions, you want to do a good thing, and then, that word came out of my mouth. I did that thing. I'm ashamed of it, but I did it. Ever feel that way? I know you did. I have. I remember when my boys were younger, and Luke said to me once, Dad, why can't you act more at home like you act at church? And that hit me. I said, whoa. And Luke, now he's in, you know what bandwidth is? Computer stuff, bandwidth. Well, he said, what happened, Dad, I think, is that you spent all your bandwidth at church, and when you came home, you had nothing left. And I was right. I mean, I looked back and I said, did I really need to go to all those meetings, you know? And they say your kids grow up fast. They do. So enjoy them while they're around because, boom, they're out soon. This has been a struggle, I think, for Christians through the centuries. How to live, now that you know you're loved by Jesus Christ, how do you live as a disciple in the world, knowing that we're loved and saved, yet we fall short? I mean, you study Martin Luther's life, it's very interesting that he wanted to be a saint. He wanted to be a man that God loved. So he joined the toughest monastery, the Fathers of the Black Friars of the Augustinian Order. He ate bad food. He scrubbed the floors. He cleaned the latrines. He said if he could go to heaven by being a monk, he would be in the highest heaven. But he had no peace. There's something more I should do. I'm not being good enough. I had that thought. I had that nocturnal admission. I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be doing that. And he went to his confessor at that time, Johannes Staupitz, a very brilliant spiritual director. And Staupitz said, you don't love God. You hate God. And he made Luther look at Jesus on the cross. Look at his wounds. Look at this that mark on his side. This is his feet. He loves you. He gave himself for you. Johannes Staupitz helped Luther see that, you know, if you're going to play the flute, you got to practice. If you play the organ, you got to practice. If you want to give a good sermon, you got to do your exegesis and eisegesis and read and know and practice. But for the gift of God, you can't control it. If you work too hard to try to get it, you get anxiety. You get obsessive compulsive behavior. You have a spiritual death because you can never be good enough. But Luther found you don't have to be good enough. Jesus Christ took all that on himself on the cross, and he took upon himself our sin and gave us God's life. And the only way we can have this is to receive it as a gift that we're justified by grace, not by works of law, not by what we do. And Luther learned that you live this life as a forgiven sinner. There is the He called it in Latin, simul peccator et justus. You're a sinner and saint, as Dave always says in when we have our classes. There's a devil here and there's the angel here, and they're wrestling all the time. St. Paul struggled with this for an answer, and his life situation helped Luther as he studied St. Paul. In fact, he found the Reformation breakthrough in Romans. Paul's struggle can also help us experience God's goodness. You know, I think sometimes Christians take Paul's words as the struggle before the Damascus Road. But no. This struggle was after the Damascus Road, after his baptism, after his being in jail and stoning. This struggle happened after it. He was not exempt from that. He had temptation even after he was saved by God in this paradox. I mean, it's kind of like guys, you know, you shave, and then darn it, you got to do it again tomorrow. Or when I had to mow the grass, I said I mowed it, and a week later, or if it was raining, maybe a few days later, it got to mow it again. It just doesn't say, well, I give up, and my beard said, I'm tired of you shaving, I'm not going to come back. It keeps coming back. And sin keeps coming back, whether you like it or not. And Joan hates it when I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. When you're a Christian, you have a target on your back. The devil's after you. He doesn't want the unsaved. He wants you because you're in church right now. And there's a struggle going on. And so like St. Paul, sometimes I say, I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I can identify with that. I think you can too. You know, one of the images that really gets me is, you know, when once the toothpaste is out of the tube, you can't put it back in. I think too often we think of being a Christian means that we should go on and everything's okay. Now I'm saved. I'm born again. Ooh, everything's hunky-dory. Nothing bad's going to happen to me. Always look on the bright side of life. Everything's happy. I can wear this smiling mask. There's no offense. I never have doubts. I never have fears. I never have temptations. And we deny our struggles. And some Christians do that. I don't think that's the way God wants us to live. For by doing that, we make it impossible for ourselves to face the depth of the conflict that's in us. It didn't Larry made me do it, or the devil made me do it. It's in me. It's a conflict that's raging inside of me. And I don't want to admit that I have a broken personality. I never sinned. I read 2 Corinthians. I'm a good person. I'm a pastor. And that's the opening for the evil one to get in there. And the more you get desensitized, and the more you think that you're God, the more he has you. See, it's only when we admit our brokenness, only when we admit the desperateness of our struggle and not try to escape the struggle, that is the way of hope. Jesus didn't try to get away from the cross. He went the way of the cross. You know, otherwise, we don't deal with the problem that rages within ourselves, the tension of being a sinner and forgiven by God. We're in denial. It's my favorite joke. You know why Cleopatra could never be helped by her psychiatrist? Because she was the queen of denial. Denial. That's what everybody said. And when we don't deal with this reality, we tend to project it onto others. It's their fault. They did it. We can hate them. They're the bad guys. We're the guys in the white hats. They're the guys in the black hats. It's always their fault. I can hate them. They're the bad guys. It was the kind of thinking that the Puritans had in Salem when they saw some old ladies and they said, they're witches. It's the same kind of thinking that Hitler, when he rose to power, he said, it's not our fault that we lost the war. It's the Jews. It's the bankers. It's the rich people. It's their fault. You know, it's the same kind of thinking that McCarthy had in the 50s when he said it was the communists that are destroying inside our country. It's the same kind of thinking that led Custer and those guys to try to have elimination of all the Native Americans. It's the same kind of thinking that white supremacists have against blacks and Jews today. To escape the tensions within, we project it onto the other. They're the evil one. They're no good. They're the bad guys. And we project the dark side of our nature onto them. They become the scapegoats, and I feel good. Because I'm not the bad guy, it's them. And I'll protect myself against them. This is what fundamentalists in every religion do. The fundamentalists believe they have the whole truth and nobody else does. You have to be born again Christian. You have to be Catholic. You have to be Lutheran. You have to be this. We're the in-group. And we're the only good guys. And they're the bad guys. And we break our tension by putting onto others. And one of my favorite movies is The Empire Strikes Back. And if you remember young Luke Skywalker, he was being trained to be a Jedi warrior by Yoda. And one of the challenges he had, they were in this kind of like a today, kind of a humidity place, and this kind of jungly place, and there was like a cave, and it was dank, and they had roots, and there were spiders, and there were snakes and lizards in there. And Luke Skywalker put on his lightsaber, and Yoda said, "You don't need that. You just go in there with what you have." And so he went in, but he still took his lightsaber because he didn't trust as much at that time. And guess who he meets? His archenemy, Darth Vader. So he gets his lightsaber and Darth Vader, and he cuts off Darth Vader's head, falls. Remember this scene? And the mask opens, and guess whose head he sees? His own. It's Luke Skywalker's head. The old comic strip Pogo, when they used to have newspapers, we used to read it, said, "I have met the enemy, and the enemy is me. The enemy is me." You know, St. Paul said, "Who's going to deliver me from this death, this sinfulness?" But what does he say? "Thanks be to God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." You're not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But Jesus Christ can and does and did and will and continue to do it as we open to him and say, "Lord Jesus, come into my life." There's another way from putting other people down. It's sitting down with people to learn people a different color than you, a different sexual orientation. Talk to them. You find out they're a human being too. And you can trust that something good can happen in sitting down and talking with another human being, especially one that's different from you, especially one that threatens you, because God's there. And God made them too. And we can have hope. Hope of the audacious expectation of that good will happen because God is good. And good is going to be the final answer to all of our situations. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. That's why Luther said in his explanation to baptism, he said, we need not to sit on our laurels. We need to die and rise again, to be humble and vulnerable in Christ and in his strength, rise up in the victorious power that will never let you go. There is forgiveness. There is grace. There is repentance. Turning back to Jesus every day. That's why I say, do your devotions, read your Bible, pray every day, every day. Keep turning back to Jesus. Start your day with Jesus. Give me Jesus. Well, you played Lord Jesus Christ. That's the yoke of Christ. That's the message we need to hear in the tension of our lives. Yes, it'd be nice to say, I'm born again. I'm no more troubles. I'm a pastor. I'm going to heaven. No. But until Christ returns in all of his glory, the tension, I hate to say it, but the tension will remain. The evil one will try to get you, and Christ will give you the strength. Martin Luther's good friend Melanchthon had the same problem. He said, you know, I know the gospel, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but I'm afraid when I preach, will I lead people astray? By my behavior, will I lead people astray? Martin Luther, what should I do? And Luther said, if you are a preacher of grace, then preach a true, not a fictitious grace. If grace is true, you must be a true and not a fictitious sinner. God does not save people who are only fictitious sinners. Be a sinner and sin boldly, but believe and rejoice in Christ even more boldly, for he is victorious over sin, death, the devil, and the world. As long as we are here, we have to sin, but this life is not the dwelling place of righteousness. But as St. Peter says in 1 Peter 3, we look for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Pray boldly, for you too are a mighty sinner. Sin boldly, but love Christ more boldly. You know, yeah, we have the disease of sin. Yeah, we have this struggle every day, but Christ is with us. Today he gives us medicine for our soul, his body, his blood, broken and shed for you, for your salvation, for your healing, to make you more like Jesus. This medicine is yours. Jesus today invites us and promises us, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. Isn't that sweet? Rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.